Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Sunday Gathering, a time to connect with Creator through prayer and reflection. Each week, the clergy of the Community Catholic Church of Canada gather to worship together, and we invite you to join us. We are an inclusive and progressive denomination in the Anglican Roman Catholic tradition. And now, let's prepare our hearts for worship and create sacred space to be blessed by God. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God,
to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our full heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. We ask for your forgiveness and your unlimited mercy to embrace us and restore us with your grace. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the God of love and power forgive you and free you from your sins, heal and strengthen you by the Holy Spirit, and raise you to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, you have built your church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Join us together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may become a holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Job, beginning with the first verse of chapter 1. There once was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. One day the heavenly beings came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them to present himself to the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" "From going to and fro on the earth and walking up and down on it." The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him on earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. He still persists in his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him for no reason." Then Satan answered the Lord, "Skin for skin, all that people have they will give to save their lives. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, he is in your power, only spare his life." So Satan went out to the presence of the Lord and inflicted loathsome sores on Job, from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Sat among the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as any foolish woman would speak. Shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm appointed between elections is Psalm 26. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity, and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my heart and mind. For your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in faithfulness to you. I do not sit with the worthless, nor do I consort with the hypocrites. I hate the company of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I wash my hands in innocence and go around your altar, O Lord, singing aloud the song of thanksgiving and telling all your wondrous deeds. O Lord, I love the house in which you dwell and the place where your glory abides. Do not sweep me away with sinners, nor my life with the bloodthirsty, those in whose hands are evil devices and whose right hands are full of bribes. But as for me, I walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands on level ground. In a congregation, I will bless the Lord. God of love and of mercy, give us clean hands and pure hearts, that we may walk in innocence and come to your eternal dwelling to praise you in the company of your saints forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for us, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world, about which we are speaking, to angels. But someone has testified somewhere. What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals, that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel, according to Mark, chapters 10, verses 2 to 16. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his flesh, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on him, and blessed him. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May Heavenly Father open our minds to know and share his will. May the Holy Spirit open our mouths and ears to hear and speak as God intends. May Jesus the Christ open our hearts, filling them with his love, that we may feel and share that precious love to all who are inclined to accept it. In the name of Jesus the Christ, amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, three of today's readings share multiple themes. The gospel today stands apart from the other readings. So I thought I'd focus on today's gospel, with Jesus' teachings on divorce specifically. Hopefully, what I share can be of use to some of you in dealing with your own divorces or those of others who are near and dear to you. First, I'd like you to recall from today's reading from Hebrews, we are told that in the Old Covenant, God spoke through his prophets. Now he speaks through his Son, and his Son's name is greater than all the angels. Clearly, then, we are to listen carefully to the teachings of the Son Jesus. Then there's the Gospel from Mark 10. We'll talk about throwing the cat in with the pigeons. Once again, the Pharisees are seeking to test Jesus. This time they challenge him on the issue of divorce. Jesus explains that Moses had written the commandment or the law allowing divorce because of the hardness of their hearts. And Jesus taught that God from the beginning had made them male and female, and that once they became one flesh, they were thereafter one, and that what God had joined together, let no one separate. Now, for many of us today, this can be a significant problem, especially if we think that Jesus is saying there is no way out of a bad marriage. To place the readings within its historical context, the Pharisees were in fact challenging Jesus to settle the debate between their own factions, the Shammites, who taught there could be no divorce except for adultery, and the Hillites, who taught that divorce could be had for any reason. Typical of Jesus, he cut to the chase, making no apologies for it. His objection was to the talaq, which is a certificate of divorce or dismissal that the man could write to the woman on any grounds, including simply the fact that he no longer favored her. Jesus saw this for what it was, an abuse of women. In their complex system of arranged marriages, bridal prices, and dowries, this was a way for men to control the women, even getting their money back and using it to secure more desirable brides and gain both financially and politically, all the while sending good women into poverty or returning them in shame to their parental homes. As we read this same exchange from the other Gospels, I'll use Matthew 5, 28 to 32 here, it becomes clear that unlike contemporary Jews of his day, who found the fault to be always with the women, Jesus finds the men at fault and holds them squarely accountable. He claimed that the man who seeks a divorce on any grounds other than the woman's own sexual immorality is guilty of many sins. If he's seeking back his bride prices under trumped-up claims or attempting to keep the dowry, he breaks the seventh commandment by stealing and frauding. If this was done in order to secure another wife, then he's already broken the ninth commandment by lusting after another woman besides his spouse. Verse 28. It is the man who forces the woman to commit adultery in 32a, or commits adultery himself in 32b, when either remarry, when there was no valid reason for that divorce. Finally, we need to understand the whole Jewish concept of marriage in their day, and understand that it's still the traditional practice today. The Jews were married by contract, and would routinely wait at least a year before having the wedding feast and moving in. During this time, the man was expected to build and prepare a home for the couple, so they were not together. This meant there was plenty of time for the two lonely young people to get in trouble with somebody other than their betrothed. Marriages were often arranged at birth and contracted as young as 12 years old. Today, the Jewish faith states that men should be married between 16 and 24 years, with 18 being the prepared optimum. Women are expected to be 2 years younger than the males, possibly more if the man himself is older. Often it was many years between the arrangement and the wedding, as the man had to be in a financial position to afford the bride's price. This was the marriage the Jews referred to as being joined by God. In short, then, it had four essential parts: bride's price, the dowry, the contract, and then intercourse for the consummation of the marriage. Now, add on top of this that many Jews practiced polygamy, had multiple wives. Most Jews stopped this practice only after the decree of Gerson, 1030 AD. Christ was dead 1,000 years before they stopped. Yet still today, there are countries where Jews and Muslims practice polygamy. In Israel today, the law now states that only one wife is permitted. Unless a man enters the country with more than one wife, in which case he can keep his wives but cannot acquire new ones. And by the way, it's okay for him to go out of country and get married and bring the new bride home. Not nearly as simplistic as most of today's weddings, where a couple meet, fall madly in love, marry, and then with or without kids being involved, discover that it wasn't love, it was lust, or that it was simply a mistake, and need to fix it, or worse, they find various abuses, in extreme cases having to flee their own home and their spouse. So please, ask yourselves, would the Jesus we know from our Gospels and from our own life experiences force a couple to remain together in the face of abuse, neglect, alcohol and drug addiction, infidelity, or simply, now and then, increasing indifference to one another, falling out of favor? The loving Jesus that I know would say, as he always did, your sins are forgiven you. Now go and sin no more. So to me, divorce is in many ways penitential rite. We confess our mistakes, we seek absolution, and do all in our power to learn from our errors or sins and not repeat them. We are, I believe, very blessed that the Community Catholic Church of Canada takes the position that when Jesus condemned divorce, he was condemning this social practice that was used to control women unfairly, rather than one that was meant to free a couple from a union that was not life-giving and affirming for them both. And we leave it for couples themselves to define for themselves whether their unions are indeed life-giving and affirming. On a side note, we do regard marital infidelity as well as single promiscuity as being sinful behaviors, as both treat the gift of physical intimacy as less than the full giving of self in a loving and committed relationship. I personally believe that Christ's cry from the cross fits here. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This rings at the very core of today's marriage crisis. In this country, over 50% of first-time marriages end in divorce, as do over 80% of second or subsequent marriages. Clearly, either people do not know what they're attempting to commit to, or they do not live to those commitments, or both. Today's reading from Hebrews also tells us that those sanctified and the one who sanctifies them all have one Father, and for this reason Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. No, to me, this loving brother would not condemn his brothers and sisters for our failures, nor force us to live in a relationship where our struggles keep us from enjoying the love of and for our Savior. Troubled marriage can keep us feeling unloved, unwanted, unworthy. And blinded by such feelings, we can too easily transfer the same feelings onto our relationship then with our Savior and God. When we're free and able to breathe again, it's easier to feel worthy, feel love, to give love, and to feel the love of our Savior and Redeemer Jesus. As for those who look down on those going through a divorce, please remember, judge not. It's not helpful, and frankly, it's not becoming a true Christian. So rather than judge, please remember, ever for the grace of God, go I. Many good people, good Christians, and yes, Catholics, go through bad or failed marriages and rough divorces. I've called divorce penitential rite. Scriptures tell us that I, God, dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, from Isaiah 57:15. Divorce can leave people with both. It can provide an opportunity for a spiritual experience, a meeting with Jesus and God of total love, of mercy and forgiveness and new life. Bear in mind that in some divorces, there may be one totally innocent party, the victim of their spouse. So for them, forgiveness is not required, although they may have been brought to believe that it is. Some of us need to go through a divorce, reach a personal epiphany, and gain an understanding of love and its failures before we fully awaken to understand its true nature and power. In some cases, perhaps the injured party simply provided that opportunity for their now ex-spouse. Opposition is the gateway to growth and understanding. We grow stronger when we learn what we should resist and what we should embrace. A loving God knew this, as he does all else. He He sent his only Son to redeem us, not to condemn us or judge us. It can be no difference in regard to marriage and divorce. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. May the love of God and the Son, Jesus Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.
Peace, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. From peace from on high and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world and the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishops and for all the clergy and people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of every nation and for all in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For each and every city and community, and for those who live in them in faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For good weather and for abundant harvests for all to share, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who travel by land, water, or air, for the sick and the suffering, the prisoners, the captives, and for their safety, health, and salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our deliverance from all affliction, strife, and need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Remembering all the saints, we commit ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our God.
To you, O Lord.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time, and with one accord to make our common supplications to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear the request. Fulfill now our desires and our petitions, as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth and in the age to come eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has commanded and taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for and ever. Amen. Linked by spirit, voice, and intention, we are wrapped in the love of God, all one in spirit, beyond the limits of time and space. Around the world at this very moment, countless prayers are being lifted. Songs of praise are being offered. Bread and wine is being blessed to nurture Creator's dear children. United in Christ, we lift our prayers and praise to God, and we give thanks that we, too, are spiritually fed in this time of worship. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow you. We love you above all things, and we give thanks that you transform our hearts with your love. Embrace each of us now. Unite us to you in this time of worship and each moment of the day. We give thanks that we are all fashioned by your love, gifted by your grace, and upheld by your loving presence. May the blessings we receive in this sacred connection move us to be blessings in the world. Amen.
May we be the hands of Christ assisting one another. May we be the voice of Christ speaking up against injustice and unloving actions. May we be the heart of Christ reaching out with compassion and healing. May we have the understanding of Christ and see our brother and sister and this planet as sacred and holy world. And may the Holy Spirit guide us and empower us this day to accomplish our purpose with love and abundant joy. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Spirit. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us this day for our time of worship. If you have a prayer request, please send it along to communitycatholicchurch@gmail.com. If you'd like to make a financial donation to help support our ministry, please visit the website at www.communitycatholicchurch.com. Join us next week at 10:30 a.m. for the next Sunday gathering. Blessings to you in the name of our God of love.